On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. As always, listening optional. We're going to have an old friend on, Adnan Virk. Very excited about that. I need some more soothing from someone who has also left ESPN, and perhaps Adnan will be able to provide us with that. We love Adnan, Mikey. Yeah? He's always been a friend to us, always been a friend to the things, the projects you and I do, right?
I love Adnan. I was Adnan's first producer when he filled in for Darian Mel.
Ah, very nice. I mean, look at that. Yet he didn't respond to you when you tried to get him on.
Never. Hasn't since. My best friend when I see him.
Yeah. Stugatz is strong in him. That's why I love him. That's why he and I get along so well. He'll join us on the back half, the second half of this episode here. But for the first time ever, Mike, weekend observation. Not the crew, not me, you, Mike Golic Jr., Mikey C, and Stanzik. We miss that crew dearly. We love them. But not that crew. My actual segment, Weekend Observations, which has never aired here on Stupidity, has become a Monday staple of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz. Dan will say it's our most popular segment we do all week. And the audience has grown to love it. Unfortunately, because we're in this pirate phase with our radio show, and we're on this pirate ship searching for land that we have not found yet. We didn't do a show on Monday. The week got away from us. We never aired the weekend observations. So for the first time ever, we are going to air them on Stupidity. And for the first time ever, we're going to air last weekend's observations on a Friday headed into a new weekend. How about that, Mikey A?
It's so far back. Are we going to be talking about Cam Newton being a potential MVP with the Patriots? Are we that far back? Hey, Gase and Darnold might figure this thing out. Is that what you're going to say?
I'm only going as far back as when we all learned together that Chad Henne was still playing in the NFL. And not only that, he was the backup for Patrick Mahomes. I had no idea. Chad Henne played for the Dolphins for many, many years, and I thought when he left Miami, he was gone. So, yes, you will hear observations about last weekend's football games, okay?
As you watch this weekend's.
We are closer to this weekend's football games than we are far away from last weekend's football games. But the audience demands their weekend observation.
Stupidity!
Yeah, so we give them what they want on a Friday. You are getting the newspaper on your lawn, not the next day. 6 days later, enjoy weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan, let's put aside for a moment one of the worst passes that any of us have ever seen in NFL history. Dan, with a 13.5-yard run and a negative 1-yard pass that Tariq Hill turned into a first down. Dan, just like that, Chad Henne is back.
Now, we need to explain to people why they're hearing this, where they're hearing this on a Friday, hearing it after the weekend.
Dan, stop explaining things. No one, and I mean no one, wants to hear it anymore. If Alan Lazard was on the Jets, he'd be out of the league. Few people, if any, have made more movies that look like they'll be great but end up being awful than M. Night Shyamalan. Go ahead. Come up with someone else. I dare you.
I saw a series being done by him recently, and I thought I'd watch it just because it was him. It's no good.
Of course it's no good. It looks good. I saw the same thing. That's why I had the observation. Looks great. Guarantee you, awful. That's what he does. Chad Henne can scoot. Rare is the single play, Dan, where you learn not one, but two things. On one play last weekend, I learned Chad Henne was still playing football and was doing so for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what the A in Andy Reid stands for, Dan? Balls. That's what it stands for. What do you mean? It stands for balls, Dan.
I mean, okay.
And balls?
What?
I don't know. Kevin, I still haven't seen your face ski. Amazing how quickly Andy Reid has gone from a guy who couldn't win the big one to one of the great coaches of all time. There's a lesson to be learned there, Dan. The ring. Did Tony Romo have an orgasm on that final drive? Can you imagine the size of the Waffle House order that Andy Reid placed via Uber Eats after last night's game? God, that game feels like a month ago
now. But it wasn't last night. It was Sunday.
You know what they say, Dan? Henny given Sunday. Tennessee cheated and was still that bad? Henny for your thoughts, Dan.
How many bad Henny puns were out there? Henny given Sunday, anything can happen. Was it Nate Burleson who was saying pour out some Henny and everyone chortled on the Chugglefest pregame show?
Anything is possible, Dan. For those of you riding around on those electric powered skateboards, got news for you: you're not skateboarding. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Chad Henne, otherwise known as Bill Polian's wet dream. What happened there?
Ooh. Ooh. You made us imagine something none of us want to imagine.
Splash.
Oh!
Chad Henne playing for the Chiefs?
A sleeping Bill Polian. Sleeping but being aroused by whatever arouses Bill Polian in the night.
Splash.
Oh.
Headline. Jets should offer everything for Deshaun Watson. Here's the problem. I'm not certain everything they have gets them Deshaun Watson. I hate them. Dan, 34 days till pitchers and catchers. How about that? Congratulations to Kyrie Irving, who, with a Nets win over the Bucks, combined with a Nets loss to the Cavaliers when he returned, set the NBA record for teams that are better without him at 3. Victor Oladipo touted the Rockets' potential after his debut. That's cute, Victor. James Harden touted maturity as the early reason for chemistry with Kevin Durant. Let me get this straight. 2 days ago, you were on a tour de force of strip clubs. 2 days later, you've matured. Got it. By the way, is there a team anywhere in sports whose maturity you question more than the Brooklyn Nets? Dan, at 8-6, some might say this is Greg Popovich's.
Oh, for the love of God.
You couldn't even get through it. You bullshit artist.
I'm going to skip the Pacers' quietest start.
You're the worst. He's been annoying me for 20 years with some 8-6 start. This might be so-and-so's best coaching job. Go bleep yourself.
I mean, name someone other than Aldridge on that team. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
DeRozan.
Oh, yeah, DeRozan. That's right. Henny three.
Any given Sunday.
Oh, I'm fucking tired. Quinnen Williams said the Jets should take Devonta Smith over a quarterback. First off, Quinnen Williams, worry about sacking the other team's quarterback. Secondly, have you seen your team's quarterback? Dan, you know what the P in Patrick Mahomes stands for?
No.
It stands for play.
Playing?
Yeah, he's playing. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, people think he's not going to play. It's very cute. A little song and dance the Chiefs are doing. The P stands for play. Okay.
What was it Cowherd's take? Cowherd was saying that the league should postpone the game until he plays.
He's going to play by any means necessary, Dan.
But what was the Cowherd take that everything needs to pause because you can't have a game without Patrick Mahomes? That's what the take was? Okay. Just stop during a pandemic. It's not just that sports are too important. Let's stop everyone playing so Patrick Mahomes can heal and only his body can matter during a pandemic. Very good.
Hockey started?
No.
Aaron Rodgers said his future is a beautiful mystery. Jesus, Genghis Khan really did a number on him.
What happened?
I don't know. Let this sink in. Josh Allen is the worst quarterback playing this weekend. If Brady wins the Super Bowl, Belichick shouldn't go to the Hall of Fame. How about that? Everything's on the line.
Wow,
man.
That escalated quickly for Belichick.
Well, don't you think? I mean, think about it.
No, why? What?
Belichick doesn't make the playoffs the year Brady leaves him. Brady makes the Super Bowl beating Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, right?
So you're taking Belichick out of the Hall of Fame?
I'm saying Belichick had nothing to do with Brady's success is what I'm saying.
Just think about it.
Just think about it. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Thank you, Billy.
Yep. Give me Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and Nets. The rest of the NBA can go to hell. Speaking of hell, or Bryles, Dan, those are the weekend observations. I'm done. Any given Sunday. Anything can happen. Henny, for your thoughts.
Said all those.
He's just running, battling, fighting through fumes. Just say, I'm going to give him all the Hennies. I got so many Hennies. I'm going to throw Hennies at him. I got these three Hennies. That's all I got. I don't have any more.
Hey. You're good at the game. Dominated me. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Listen, I don't love you nearly as much as I love that fucking man right there. Oh, listen, you are approaching a Greg Cody status for me, where just seeing your face makes me smile. Doesn't matter what kind of, and I'm in a horrible, horrific mood today, and yet you still have me smiling. And Mikey, please tell me we're rolling.
I'm rolling.
Dan Patrick wasn't asked to do this because he did it from his studios. I
mean. Exactly. I'll do this after. By the way, hilarious opening with you and Dan Patrick. Like, how was the show today? He couldn't give a damn. All right, let's dispense with the chit chat. Let's just go here. So I texted Dan Stanton.
Listen, Dan Patrick made it very clear that foreplay is not
his. No, he's like, okay, what do you
want?
It's
not his golf bag. Yes.
Right. I texted with our buddy Dan Stanzik afterwards and said, oh my God, Dan Patrick. Then realized, of course, he was no longer a part of your operation. So I said, is this the first one without you? He goes, no, second one, Mike A., a worthy caretaker. I said, well, this is big news. Oh, Mike A. is now in the mix as well.
Hold on a second. The fact that we have our technical guru for stupidity on this call right now, and you said, Mike A. asked me to record it, just makes me look so good. Oh. Like, oh, yeah, he is actually doing his job.
No, I love it. I love it. This is a complex operation here. I love it.
Wait, so Adnan, have you figured out how to, like, are you recording
yes.
yourself?
I'm now recording, if you see, on a Comrex kit, although it looks over.
You.
It looks kind of over. I think it's overmodulated, but what the hell? This is what Mike A. wanted me to do. So
we have like Chris Whittingham, who's in the who's on the Zoom here. If you could see him, he's like, I don't know. He's like our technical caddy, and he just gave you like a standing ovation.
Yes.
Because you're on a fucking Comrex. I mean, like the things that him and Mike Ryan care about are things I would never ever think about. You know,
right? Like that. An immediate erection, a Comrex kit. I'm like, okay, great. Glad to hear it.
Just sound quality.
What gets you off, Comrex kits?
Right. Do you need a Viagra? No, just give me a really good mic stand. Okay. Terrific.
Right. I get aroused. Don't take this the wrong way. Just by seeing Adnan's face, Whittingham gets aroused by a Comrex. I mean, it's crazy.
Back in the day when I used to work with Colin Cowherd, he'd hang up with a guest who was absolutely terrible, but he'd be so hard. He'd be like, oh, that guy had good phone. That was good phone, not
good
one
phone.
Breakup.
Oh
good
my
phone.
God,
it's
perverted.
What he used to call it.
Oh, do you Chris. Have a
hang on a second. Chris is way too good looking to be a technical director. Chris, you are an aspiring on-air talent if I've ever seen one who just happens to be dabbling.
I've never had my appearance complimented before.
Well, I mean, the hair does look good. I will tell you, Adnan, that there was a time where we thought Chris Whittingham was going to be the next Dan Le Batard. He produced my morning show way back when.
Yeah.
Genius. And now here he is making sure that you're hooked up to a Comrex unit. Dan Le Batard, he is not.
Is he recording himself? Is he going to send me the file? Because I need it.
Well, it's... I want to listen. Last time I stole the mic away from you, Stu, so I'm not going to do that as much. But I am going to do two things.
Right.
One, first off, congrats on an outstanding run with ESPN. Seriously, it's a remarkable run you guys did. You know how rare this is in this business. You never get to write your own endings. That never happens. Normally, you get pushed out. Something happens. Oh, okay, this wasn't acrimonious. I'm not saying there wasn't a little bit of that, perhaps, with you guys. But the fact that you were able to have a send-off, right? Sometimes you just get the plug pulled. You don't get to have that last show. You don't get to say goodbye. You guys get to say goodbye. And by the way, take your cake and eat it too, because you're going to go on and do more things. I mean, what was it like for you? I'm just curious, because listen, you say what you want about ESPN. ESPN is top of the food chain. We all dream of being there. The fact you guys did that for that many years, like think about it. You were like the insurgents. You are an insurgent show. You were a part of the establishment. I'm still amazed it never happened. It's amazing for you guys.
It's I'm still amazed it happened, to be honest with you. So, like, listen, you know I love sports. I love doing this. And ESPN is the pinnacle. But I'm telling you, when I got into this, Adnan, for me, it was local radio. I mean, Chris Whittingham could tell you that. He's known me forever. If I had a successful local radio show, I was going to be super happy. I could do that for 35 years, Mike and the Mad Dog type stuff. And so when we got to ESPN, we arrived at ESPN, I was shocked that they wanted a show like ours on ESPN. And then B, I enjoyed because I never expected to be there. So every day I worked there was one day longer than I ever expected to work at ESPN. And so I enjoyed all 8 years. And that lineup, as you know, flipped over 5 or 6 times in the 8 years that we were there. And the only show that remained was ours. And so I'm truly grateful for it. Great relationships with wonderful people like yourself that I otherwise would not have if not for my time at ESPN. And just to be able to do some stuff like First Take or Mike and Mike or call the Final Four for college lacrosse and the national championship game and be on College Game Day is just stuff that I will have with me for the remainder of my life and will never forget. And so I'm truly grateful for it. You know, how could you not be? And now that I don't have it, I feel fucking naked. I mean,
well, it's funny because people want you to slam ESPN, right? They go, oh, what they did you, what this. You go, listen, be that as it may, it was a great run. There's so many things I'm thankful for. If we're doing a ledger, checks and balances, yes. Like there's so much stuff that I'm the guest picker thing blew my mind. I swear to God, I saw it on Twitter. I go, what? Stu Gatz is the guest picker on Game Deal? This is a very hallowed place in our country. I go, this is incredible. I remember I texted you, go, dude, I can't believe this. I go, I can't believe it. I love you. And I'm like, what? Stu is the guest.
Well, let's take a minute and remember here, it took a pandemic and J-Lo canceling last minute for me to get on that show, but I'll take it.
That's still on the resume. The lacrosse stuff was amazing. Of all this stuff, the lacrosse, I think it was huge, because people go, wait, this guy was like a legit great lacrosse player. He's totally into it. I mean, I remember at first thinking, I'm like, is this going to be like Dennis Miller in the booth? But I'm like, no, Dennis Miller never played football. Like, Stu played it. He'll throw in wisecracks and he'll have fun and stuff. That's fine, but... That's very rare that you – I hope you can do more of this. I don't know if that's an opportunity for you, but
– No, it is. It actually is at ESPN, which I'm super grateful for, continuing to do some lacrosse stuff. Listen, it's small things, Adnan, because you – like, we're fans. You and I are not just sports fans. We're sports media fans. So a lot of these guys have a lot of meaning to me. So when I'm calling those games and Maryland women's lacrosse is playing in the Final Four of the national championship game, and you get a text from Scott Van Pelt, who went to Maryland – and he's telling you he's watching the game and you're killing it in the booth. I get goosebumps, like just telling you that story. Or Connor Schell, who's one of our bosses at ESPN, who's the head of programming, and he's saying me the same thing. He's like, I had no idea that you could do this. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
And so like those moments are priceless. It's like when the stuff happened with Parkland, unfortunately, at Stoneman Douglas, and I got into serious mode and people didn't really think that there was that side of me, and I'm outside the lines at Mike and Mike, and I'm describing what happened in my town, in my city that on that tragic day, and you get a text from Bob Lee saying, well done. It's like, whoa, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's what people think in our business. They go, oh, you know, what athlete are you friends with? Who do you hang out with? I go, no, that never happens. Like, maybe Dwayne Wade is hanging out with you and Dan on the weekends, but probably not. Like, we have a good relationship. It's fun. Like, Stan Van Gundy, I think, is genuinely friends with you guys. But, like, generally, there's a separation between coaches and athletes. But when people in sports media give you a compliment, like, one of the greatest days of my life, I'm doing MLB Network, and we were talking about the 69 Mets team, of course, you love. Right. And
listen, it's the only. I love them. They won the World Series three. No, I was -3 actually when they won that World Series.
But, a team close to your heart. Well, yes. I mean, I was in utero, but
I do
amazing.
Love them. Yes.
But Brian Kenny was comparing them to this year's Rays and blah blah blah. And I didn't know what the hell I could say because I obviously was not alive either for that time. So I compared it to Barry Sonnenfeld, the great director of Men in Black and Get Shorty. And I said, you know, in Men in Black 3, there's a character named Don Clendenin because Barry Sonnenfeld's such a huge Mets fan. Well, the aliens is named that. And Brian kind of gives me this look like, what the hell are you talking about? But I'm like, all right, go with it. Bob Costas later comes on the show. By the way, Chris Whittingham just left, so he did not like that story. Bob Costas comes on and Bob says, and earlier he was making a comment about the Mets' historical illusions, and Bob says, listen, I mean, how about Adnan Virk? He goes, the last time I was on this show, I heard him make a Spartacus reference, and now he just weaved in a Get Shorty reference. He goes, if he and I were the same age, I think it might have been later with Adnan Virk rather than later with Bob Costas. And I'm, of course, floored. It's an incredible compliment. Brian Kenny's just laughing. Yes. Great. I go home that day, and I said to my wife, I said, and she goes, I haven't seen you this giddy in years. I think since you got the job at ESPN. And I said, God, I don't want to be overbearing, but maybe I can get Bob's email, like his work email from his son as a researcher at MLB Network. And sure enough, I check my phone, and it says, no joke, I really am a fan, -BC. And I'm like, okay, we can just retire now, right? Like, no matter what the trolls say, Stu, or what the tweets say, whoever hates me, Bob Costas just said he's a fan. Like, we're good for life.
That's amazing. Listen, I have my own Bob Costas story where we were having him on the show fairly often, and he sent me a text and said, Stu, I love you. Let's get this down to 2 times a year.
Well, that's.
But I'll take it. I got a text from Costas. I don't care.
Well, that's the other part of it. It's like you don't want to be overbearing with that relationship because now I'm like, all right, I think we're texting buddies. So I'll text him about baseball matters, St. Louis Cardinals, things he really loves. But I'm not at the level yet where I'm like, hey, what do you think of Tenet? Like, are you in on Christopher Nolan or what? Like, so I don't know. I don't want to get to that point with Bob. Imagine what could be worse than having Bob Costas block your cell number.
nothing.
You just start texting him, Aaron Judge, go big fly, what'd you think?
Right, right. It's just the most random stuff. Like, no, we're not friends here. Like, we're colleagues. That's it. Just know your audience.
I constantly am overstepping my boundaries where I think I get a text like that from Bob Lee, and he and I are best friends for life.
You know? Oh, no, I think Bob Lee would be pretty engaging with you. I think, like, New York guys, I mean,
Should I get him on? Should I get him on, Stupondi?
Absolutely. He's not doing much. I texted him after Tom Seaver died. Tom Seaver's this guy. He sent back, like, paragraphs. Like, okay, Bob has a lot of time on his hands right now. I guarantee he'll come on Stupondi. No problem.
All right. Mikey, yeah, get him on the show.
The other thing I wanted to mention is this. And then you can
I wanted to address one thing, okay?
Sure.
Because we do have movies, baseball, Canada, okay, and Roger Federer questions for you.
Sure.
It's ridiculous. But I do have I just wanted to address one thing you said. People do expect you to slam ESPN once you have left ESPN. I have no reason to.
Right.
They were great to us. We were there for 8 years. We parted ways. They did not let us go. We didn't just get up and go. But to your point, it is rare to have two people in this industry, myself and Dan, do this for as long as we've done it, for 20 years, north of 20 years.
Right.
And we wanted to, if there's a final chapter, and you say that chapter is 7 to 10 years, whatever it is, Adman, mm-hmm, we wanted to finish it our way. So I just wanted to address that to you,
yes,
to the audience. As very few shows have the opportunity to do that. This one does because of the audience, because of how great our audience is and because of how massive it is and how loyal it is. And so we're going to take that opportunity to go out our way. And we're super excited about
that.
Oh,
yeah. Nobody has ever denied the appeal of your show. Like, there are people I know who say to me, like, that's it, you get the show. They're like, I don't get it, but I know they're popular. Like, it's not my thing, but I know a lot of people for whom it is their thing. And you go, great. The worst thing in our business is to be like, they're okay. No. Love it or hate it. Polarizing. I can't stand those guys. I love those guys. I can't live without them. I despise them. Wonderful. We'll take all of that. That's what we want in this business.
Yes. Name the person who said they hated our show at ESPN. Go ahead. Come on.
Yeah. I think it was also Scott Van Pelt, coincidentally. No. loves you on lacrosse, hates the show. No, I'm kidding.
And Bob Lee and Bob Costas.
It was Bob Costas. He texted him.
Right. Yeah. Bob was like, by the way, tell Stu, hey, stop calling. I'm not really a fan of the show. I'm like, right,
Two times a year. 2 times a year.
Like, was there anybody who had greater currency from your show than Ron McGill? Like, when you look back at a show, right, when you watch any television show, like, you watch Family Ties. The show originally was supposed to be about the parents. It was supposed to be about Stephen and Elise, Mark Gross and Meredith Baxter Burney. And a season in, they go, hey, everybody just likes Alex. Like, Michael J. Fox is awesome. This guy is stealing every single scene. The audience loves him. Let's just make the show about Alex. And if you watch the Family Ties finale, which my brother just did, rather inexplicable reason. I just read Michael J. Fox's latest book, and he was like, I rewatched the Family Ties finale. Yeah, he goes, everything's about Alex. There's like one scene about Tina Yothers, one scene about Mallory, but it's all Alex. I was like, well, he's the star. Similarly, for your show, when you look back and you go, all right, who was a guy that we didn't think he'd be the breakout star? Like, maybe it's, you know, Guillermo put on the poll. Okay. There's definitely moments where Amin El Hassan shine, but I think Ron McGill, if you look back, if there was an oral history of the show, you'd go, I did not think Ron McGill would become the breakout star.
No, and there will be an oral history of the show. I ain't writing it. So, and Greg Cody would probably fall in that category
Cody
as well.
He's beloved. Absolutely. If you read Greg Cody's work, like, oh, smart guy, excellent journalist. You see him on the show, hysterical. You had no idea this was this other side of him.
If you use the show correctly, if you embrace the show, okay, the audience will back you up, and they'll back you up forever. And I'm certain that you have seen that. Like, you have left ESPN, you are on doing other things, and I am certain our audience, because they love you, and they're passionate, and they're loyal, have followed you to certain places.
Absolutely. There are people who have said, oh, I didn't know where you were, but dude, love when you used to get hung up on the Levitard show. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that you really enjoyed when I would get cut off. I'll follow you into the abyss because of that. Well, excellent. Thank you.
Amin actually did.
Amin thing is amazing. Like, when I read that story, I go, this can't be true. I'm like, there must be. No. Like, he just was like, I'm going with those guys. Like, I'm out of here.
We had no idea. We had no idea.
That's literally like Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me? Amin's hand shoots up. Spain's sitting there. Katie Nolan's like, oh, let's just wait till the contract runs out. I mean, it's like, I'm out of here. I already gave him my 2 weeks. I'm gone.
Listen, I love Katie Nolan to death. She's a good friend. She has been great to me. I'd wait for that contract to expire as well.
I
mean,
I would agree on that point as well, actually.
I was thinking about waiting for my contract to expire.
Well, by the way, there was one faction. There was, I swear I saw some voices saying, what does this mean? Will Stugat still continue? I swear to God, there's people who are like, oh, Dan's leaving, but maybe Stu will stay. Hang on a second. What? You think Questionable's gone, but Stu is going to stay. No, we're not breaking up Abbott and Costello, Siskel and Ebert. We're keeping this thing rolling.
You think there wasn't a dollar amount that would have made Stu say, bye, Dan, I'm staying?
Mike does raise an interesting point. Everyone's got a price.
He does, right. And there probably is. but Levitar came in higher.
Exactly.
No, you know what I learned, Dan? ESPN valued me, but no one, first off, I enjoy doing this. It's 20 years, right? And at this point, he and I want to finish this thing off together, right? But no one will value me more than Dan Le Batard values me. And that's just, at the end of the day, I've realized that for a long time now, but that's just the reality of it. I mean more to Dan Le Batard and that show than I'll ever mean to ESPN or Fox or NBC, just because of the nature of the show, right?
And that's interesting. Just, like, if someone says to you, like, he is the, I mean, and I think you can make that argument. You are the best at your role on that show than anybody else is on their role on a show, right? That doesn't mean you couldn't be a leading man. Michael J. Fox was a supporting actor in Family Ties, became the star, went on to make movies, The Star of Spin City, et cetera. So you could have risen that same path. Okay, I've proven I can do this. Let me be the guy. But I agree with you. Why not just do something expertly rather than being the top banana just to feed ego or whatever else the case may be?
Our show's never been about that. I really have never been about that. I will remind you, though, I'll let the ego seep in here for a second. Those 6 weeks that Le Batard took off, I didn't ask for any of this. That was our highest digital month ever. So how about that?
And that's the other part of it, is that everybody roots for the underdog. And then when your show dynamic, you're the guy getting made fun of. Oh, he's the laughingstock. He's the buffoon. He's the Stugatz. Okay. So there's a lot of guys who are like, I relate more to that guy than anybody else on that show. Go ahead, Stu. Come on. Speak the truth.
He's so like the embodiment of underdog.
Yeah,
like
I am
the embodiment of underdog.
And that's why when you asked me about ESPN, Adnan, I didn't think I'd spend one fucking day at that place. And so every day I spent there was a blessing, you know?
But it's the greatest lesson ever, what you said about growing up admiring Russo, who I love as well. And you said, when I got good is when I realized I had to stop imitating Mad Dog.
Yeah, because you can't. Yeah, right. I just start mocking him. Right, be over the top, Mad Dog. Yes.
Right, you're basically satirizing him, and he's totally okay with it. That's what a great guy he is.
Okay with it. I'm co-hosting a show coming up here in a couple of weeks. I am doing. Well, I have this small window of free agency. We thought it'd be funny if I just start like crashing all of my favorite shows across the country. Okay, so like Giannotti, Greg and Boomer, right on WFAN. Like Giannotti's a friend, so I want to crash that show, and I've already spoken to him about it. Adam Schein on Mad Dog, Mad Dog on Mad Dog. I'm going to do all the Mad Dog radio shows. Evan Cohen, I was his camp counselor. Schein has already agreed to do it, and Mad Dog, we have a binding contract because he said he would do it here on Stupidity, and then Colin and Dan. I want to crash all these shows.
Oh my God, this is a tremendous idea. That will get the blogs going. Free agent frenzy. Where is Stugatz headed? You're like Kevin.
And meanwhile, I'm going nowhere.
Stugatz is the free agent who's already agreed to a contract, but he's going to go get the free dinners at all the other places.
Right.
Like,
I
might go to the Japanese league. Let's go have dinner. Yeah.
He just wants to be seduced and lured, although the contract is already written, signed, and printed. Well, whatever. Let's see. I can always tear it up.
I love you. I can't. And listen, in an odd turn of events, it appears, at least for the moment, that we have the same boss. I mean, this is crazy.
That is the other part of that was getting people fired up. They go, wait, hang on a second. Skipper runs DAZN. Adnan works for DAZN. Oh my God. Are the forces aligning? To which I say, we shall wait and see. Let's let the plot thicken a little bit, right?
All right. I have two quick things for you. And then Mikey, I assume, has baseball, Canada, movies, and fucking Federer. hashtag Team Fed. So two quick questions for you. First off, Mikey, A, do you have the sound of Dan Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. Adnan, I want to play Dan Patrick's response when I asked him in my post-ESPN life if everything's going to be okay. And then get your response to his response and maybe some soothing words from you that, yes, Stu, everything is going to be just fine. Okay, let's play this first.
The real reason we wanted you on today is we have, you know, we're on, we're embarking on our post-ESPN era. You are well into yours, and you have been very successful doing so. Just, Dan, tell me I'm going to be okay. That's what I need, some soothing. Just tell me, Dan, okay? Because you've become a mentor to me, someone I admire very much. Dan, DP, look at me. Tell me I'm going to be okay.
Okay. Now look at me when I tell you this.
Okay.
Levitard is going to be okay.
Listen, Dan is definitely going to be okay. But listen, every pilot needs a wingman, okay? Dan will take care of you. Say what we will about Levitard, but that guy's about as loyal as it gets, right? Even if you were down in the dumps, he would be there for you. He will take care of you. He will protect you. I'm sure you and Skipper have a good relationship as well. It isn't like Dan is orchestrating everything. Oh, by the way, here's my buddy Stu. Can you just say hi to him, John? Like, you'll be in great shape. I think it's a very funny line by Dan, but you'll be great. I hope Mike A is being well compensated for this, by the way. The way Stanzik made it sound like worthy caretaker. I'm like, is he doing this pro bono? I hope he's getting paid.
I don't do it. I don't do anything pro bono.
Okay, good.
I haven't. Have you been paid? I don't even know.
Abby took care of me.
All right, so what?
Go ahead.
Good. Yeah, yes, she did. Because I don't know how to do that Venmo thing. Okay. All right. So thank you for telling me I'm going to be okay. I feel much better. Okay. Here's the question I have for you, movie related. That Mikey A has a bunch of questions from listeners. Okay. We had this conversation on the show, and you were the best person to ask, okay? Because cinephile, and you know more about movies. I mean, what you just rattled off about Alex B. Keaton and Family Ties, a show that took place 40 years ago, off the top of your head was outstanding. So I have been telling the guys that I think when you look at actors, okay, and you want to get down to the three most iconic roles. So we were talking about actors and who has played the three most iconic roles of any actor of all time. It is hard to fight. It is hard to argue Harrison Ford, which would be my nomination.
I said Han Solo.
Who has?
You got Indiana Jones.
Han Solo, and Richard Kimball.
That's what I was about to say. What's the third one? Maybe Blade Runner, but Richard Kimball the Fugitive is pretty good. Which is interesting because I remember Cody asked me a long time ago who I thought was overrated, and I go, I got to be honest, Harrison Ford. I don't think he has a lot of range, but I think he's great at that role. And all three of those roles kind of have similarities, right? Strong leading man, bit of a wise ass. I'm like, I don't think he's doing light comedy particularly well. I don't think he's good in a romantic drama, but those roles fit him like a glove. Like, there's nobody else you can picture but Harrison Ford. That's a pretty good one. Iconic roles, that's tough to beat.
Stallone's in that conversation, right? Because he's got Rambo and he's got Rocky. Yeah.
A lot of these guys, you get two. Like you said, Stallone, Rambo, Rocky. You're not sure what the third is. Would love to give some love to Copland. Probably not going to make it.
No, Cobra.
Stop or my mom will
Tango
shoot.
And Cash.
Listen, Pacino, The Godfather, Scarface, but I don't know what number three is, right?
It'd probably be... Yeah, it would have to be Scent of a Woman, right? It's tough. Like, I was trying to think if anyone kind of delves into that with Tom Cruise. Go Tom Cruise right
Tom
now.
Cruise,
three most iconic
Top Gun
roles.
Right away. Mission Impossible.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
Wow. I would probably leave it a bunch out.
Yeah.
I mean, with Cruise, right?
And then it's interesting. Like, if That's you look crazy. At actors, they often go through hot streaks. Like, there's a stretch where you go, oh, my God, this guy's on fire. And then they fall apart, which makes you realize how flimsy the audience is, right? It's just like they love you and then they hate you. It's like what Sally Field said years ago. You love me. You really love me. You'll see a guy, like, go on a stretch of, like, three straight great movies. And it's like, holy shit, what happened to him? Like, it's so rare to have longevity. That's like a guy like Denzel should be lionized. He should have statues. Like, how could you have success for three decades in this crazy, fickle business? It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Does he have an iconic? He has. Does he have any iconic roles in his
Training Day?
I know, but he's what's crazy about Denzel is he's He's probably one of my three favorite actors of all time, easily, yeah, right? And yet I don't think he has one of those iconic roles.
No, not like
on,
the way we're describing Rocky. Like Malcolm X is a great film. I don't think the guy on the street knows Malcolm X. I don't think he knows that he won an Oscar for Glory. No. Like to Mike A's point, Training Day is a big box office hit, but other than that, he hasn't had like those juicy moments like, you know, Stallone.
I mean, Coach Boone, maybe. Coach Boone.
Yeah, remember the Titans? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great movie. All right, Mikey, do we have – Adnan's got to get out of here. We appreciate his time as always. Do we have questions from the listeners? Movies, baseball, Canada, and Roger Federer.
Let's go Canada first. Adnan, okay. What is the best Canadian city for an American to visit?
Now, you think I'm going to go with Toronto as my hometown, but it's not. It's actually Quebec City. Quebec City is a gorgeous city. If you're never going to go to Europe, the closest thing to Europe is Quebec City, particularly Old Quebec. It's a stretch of about 5 miles, and you feel like you're in the 1700s. It's about as romantic as it gets. Incredible food. Poutine is great. They got great duck. They got great rabbit. Beautiful scenic sights. Now, it's cold, so I wouldn't recommend going in February, but July or August, people that go to Quebec City is actually, I believe, top five biggest tourist attraction in all of North America, particularly Old Quebec, because people flock there if they don't want to go across the pond to actually Paris or England or whatever. So Quebec City, awesome. Now, probably for listeners of Stupidity, Montreal is also very good. The Canadian Ballet, I'm sure you people have heard
of. You know my audience.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced, a great bang for the buck. And obviously, Toronto is great. Of course, my hometown. As Steve Levy once told me of Toronto, and Stu will appreciate this, he goes, it's New York without the assholes. I said, well, what a
Toronto
wonderful compliment to Toronto.
It's what we're all looking for. New York without the assholes. I mean, it really is. Wait, now give me a little something on Vancouver, because I'm told it's very,
so
very
Vancouver,
nice.
I mean, aesthetically stunning. I mean, if you go there, the mountains are picturesque. Grouse Mountain, you can go to the top of. If you're big into skiing and the outdoor stuff, you'll love Vancouver. Whistler, of course, nearby as well. Stanley Park is really nice. Good food, good people. There's a whole rivalry, right? Like New York, LA, or Toronto, Vancouver, but. Listen, long before weed was legalized, Vancouver was the place to go if you wanted to get high outside and inside.
I love it. All right, what else you got, Mikey?
Let's go movies. Greatest movie pet.
It has to be something from Ace Ventura. It would be my first thought just because there's so many pets in that movie. Like the dolphin in particular, I guess, would be the winner. But I got to be honest, I do really love Hooch in Turner and Hooch. I don't think that's going to be one of Tom Hanks' most memorable movies, but I was like 10 when I saw it. Really funny movie. And I get a Hooch for the way he had like the spit coming down. At one point, he goes, it looks like he got like a handlebar mustache. I think Hooch and Turner and Hooch is pretty epic.
I'm hoping to be the Hooch to Stugatz. Just
just start slobbering. You'll be fine, Mike.
By the way, they're remaking it.
Really? Who's going to be Turner?
I forget.
Kevin Hart. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I thought you were going to say Lassie. I mean,
well,
I really
Lassie,
did. I thought
listen,
Lassie.
Listen, Lassie, go home. Yes. I mean, that's iconic as well.
All right, go ahead, Mikey. What
else? Who is your pick for a 1990s era baseball player as your doubles partner on clay courts in Tangiers?
Kenny Lofton. I think Kenny Lofton is terrific. Every time I think of 90s baseball, he's one of the first names that come to mind. And thankfully, as you can tell by my no doubt answer, I've spent time thinking about clay court tennis doubles partners. Kenny Lofton, smooth, agile, slick, obviously fast. Court coverage would be incredible. He could get to everything. I could see him going defense to offense, forehand, backhand. Kenny Lofton's my pick.
By the way, I love that, it's going to be a TV series, not a movie, Turner and Hooch, the remake, and Josh Peck will be playing Turner.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, look that up quick.
If you went TV, would it be the Doberman Pinschers that stood next to Higgins in Magnum P.I.? I
mean, listen, any mention of Magnum P.I., yes. Doberman Pinschers, that if it had to be a TV pet, that's pretty good. I think the Doberman Pinschers are the winner. I love that.
No one knows who we're talking about, Higgins.
Yes,
no,
anyone under the age of 40 Mikey, has no idea.
Wait, hold on. Mikey A., do you even know, who? Like when we say Magnum P.I., do you know
of
what we're talking
I
about?
Magnum P.I. I'm not.
Okay, good. How old are you?
36.
Okay.
All right. Mike is mid-30s, but he's aware of things beyond his years.
But, yeah. Okay. I had parents.
I guess Stanzik would have no idea. I don't
no,
think.
No, I don't think they would.
No. Which is what reason 1 million why you're better at this.
No,
than
come on.
Right, yeah, go ahead.
Stanzik's my guy.
I'm joking. I love Stanzik.
Wait a second.
I do
you think Stanzik could have booked Adnan?
Yeah. You know, I'm a pretty tough get here, okay? Stanzik's Rolodex to get
there. First off, I'm going to do this to Stanzik every single episode. I'm going to take a shot at him. Because it's only born out of love. And secondly, Mikey A, I booked that dance. Right.
That's a correct answer. By the way, how about Stanzik? I love the Steve Levy interview you did, Stu. The fact that Stanzik used Cinephile as research with Steve Levy shows he and I will always be inseparable. Amazing.
Oh, I love that guy so much. Steve Levy, I'm talking about. All right, I love Stanzik and I are kindred. Stanzik and I have become really good friends. I love him dearly.
Well, that's the most important thing, right? When you don't work together anymore, do you still maintain friendship? And for you guys, there's no doubt you do. I mean, that's great.
So he sent me a thank you card for his wedding gift to me and Abby. And at the end of it, he had a funny line. He said, athletes that connote, thank you. And he gave me a Ray Lankford because he couldn't think. He's so bad at the game. Okay. So he goes, and then he explained it. And I texted him, hey, if you have to explain it, it's not a good one.
Thumbs down.
And so I said, how about, he goes, well, what do you got? And I said, you Darvish? Thank you, Darvish? He goes, genius. It took me 1 second to think about it.
The hat tip immediately, genius.
He had all of time.
Anyway, he's going to be a dad soon, too. I mean, that's going to be a lot of good fodder for the podcast. Dan Stanzik, father.
Oh, I
lived with that guy for 2 years, and he's going to be a father, and that blows my mind.
Yeah, Mike, can you elaborate on that? Because I have a take as well. I think just because Dan is so anal, like I just see him getting his marathon runs in, his reading, his Jeopardy. Like a child is going to upset the apple cart, right, Mike?
Yeah, he's if he thinks that it's going to be the same thing, he's wrong. He's going to have to make his lettuce smoothies, you know, on the baby's time, not on his.
His lettuce smoothies. So wait, I love that you guys are suggesting that a baby's going to get in the way.
Right.
Of the things that are really important in his life. Yeah. Right.
Jesus Does Stanzik go for a long run with the baby and the baby Bjorn?
Yeah.
That's what he'll do. He told me he was already complaining about it. I said, Dan, you didn't have the baby yet. But what I told him is when you're knee deep in diapers and all that kind of stuff, and you're not going out for your normal jogs and you're shoving down a TV dinner, I said, when you're knee deep, I want to remind you of this. Imagine what it would be like to have a second one at the same exact time, because that's what me and my wife had. So don't complain. Man. All right, a couple more questions. Let's get Adnan out of here.
I got one more for you, and we'll end it here. Even after the pandemic, will we see people going back to the movie theaters, or will on-demand digital become the way we consume movies?
People still.
Adnan, before you answer that, they just popped up a huge drive-in movie theater down in Miami. Spectacular, fantastic, and I think that could be the. I haven't been there yet. I have friends who have gone, loved it. That could be the future.
Listen, there's no denying that streaming is very accessible for people. They like being able to have that convenience, but people love going to the movies. We've been doing this for decades, for over a century. People love getting out, getting a date night. Hey, let's get a sitter. Let's go to the movies. Popcorn, dinner beforehand, afterwards, have a sundae, a slushy, let's discuss it. And I'm with you on the drive-ins. I think the drive-ins are fantastic because, again, it taps into nostalgia, what a lot of people did as kids, or if they've never done it, oh, I've heard about this drive-in thing, let's try it out. Again, it gets you out of the house, it's a cool experience, it's something different. There's nothing quite like the big screen. Have movie theaters been hurt? Of course they have. Irreparably, though, no. I looked at the numbers. Movie theaters still made $2.8 billion in 2020. Now, that was all January, February, and half of March, and then, like, you know, a couple of people went and saw, you know, Tenet and that kind of thing. But Bad Boys for Life made $400 million. Just because there's a pandemic, once people can go back, they're going to go roaring back. Absolutely.
All right. We love you, man. Get out of here. I know you got a lot of work to do today. Thank you for always being available to us. And anything you want to promote? Anything going on today our listeners will be into over the weekend?
No, MLB Network. I'm doing Intentional Talk. It's a lot of fun. Great show. The likes of Carlos Pena, Cliff Floyd, Al Leiter, Ron Darling, Kevin Millar obviously is the main host. A lot of fun there. Cinephile, we're still trudging along. And the GM Shuffle. NFL Pod with Mike Lombardi is going great. We have a lot of fun. So, I just hope next time I'm on, I'm not following Dan Patrick. I mean, but seriously, good luck getting Costas. I think go for Bob Lee and go for Costas.
I'm going to go for Bob Lee. I'm going to get Bob Costas. I will make a promise to you. I will not have you on after either of those. The next time you will come on is after we have the priestess on, the witch, okay? You'll come on.
That's a hard one to follow.
I love it. I love it. Thanks, boys.
You're the best. We love you. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.